The documentary is Icarus. Brian Fogel is the director. He is due in Australia next week. We spoke earlier this morning from New York. Brian Fogel, welcome to 1116 SEN.
Nice to chat with you. Never been to Australia, so looking forward to it.
We look forward to having you here. It's a remarkable film and an incredible personal journey, Brian. Just give us an idea. How significantly has your life changed as a result of this endeavor?
Well, it's changed significantly on so many fronts. On a career level, it's opened up doors to me to work on many different projects on the feature side and scripted television, but on the documentary side, and so on a career level, it's been incredible for me, and obviously, you know, I think in what the film revealed and the course of the film, you know, it's been a pretty substantial life-changing journey in so many ways.
Could you ever have imagined being an Oscar-winning director?
Well, I think every filmmaker has a dream of that, but I think the reality is probably much more elusive than the idea of it. So that has transpired. I'm incredibly honored and was just humbled through the journey that that I was able to tell the story that I did, and B, that my peers in the Academy took notice was pretty amazing.
And on the international anti-doping front, Brian, how would you describe the place that you hold?
Well, I you know, clearly Icarus was a pivotal film, a monumental film in regard to what it showed about the inefficiency and effectiveness, or lack of effectiveness, of the global anti-doping system. But I think that almost all those in sport and in anti-doping were grateful for the film, because in order for any sort of meaningful change to occur, there generally has to be a tipping point. And I think that that the film certainly helped to highlight what was clearly wrong with the system, but also what was going on within the federations, and obviously, you know, at the state level, which I think WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, was not looking at. They were always looking at the individual and holding the athlete accountable, rather than looking at the federations and in the larger perspective, the Olympic Committee and what was going on in the state level.
When you travel around the world, Brian, to present, and you'll do so in Australia shortly, what's the core of what you put forward?
The talk that I've crafted is a lot to do with a personal journey. You know, my story of how I essentially grew up in Colorado racing bicycles, got into the entertainment industry, and ultimately, you know, won the Academy Award with Icarus. And it's also a behind-the-scenes look of what was going on in the making of the film, because none of that has really gotten into in Icarus's narrative. And then, you know, I think there's a lot of larger talking points that I touch on that... From Russian interference to what has been going on in our U.S. political system, and also kind of what changes can be made and impacted in the anti-doping movement.
The film revealed itself as you're making it, Brian, but just give us the core ideas. When you started, what was the film that you intended to make?
Well, I mean, the film that I started on, and what I truly intended to make, was to show that my thesis before I ever picked up a camera was that the global anti-doping system in sport didn't work. And that thesis for me was very clear, which was, if they couldn't catch the most tested athlete on planet Earth, Lance Armstrong, after 500 tests, and at least according to the methodology, he was clean, I thought to myself, what does this mean for every athlete across all sports? Nothing to do with cycling. And should we be blaming the athlete, or should we be looking at bigger problems within the system that seems ineffective to catch cheaters? And that was what I set out to make a film about, and hopefully that I was going to be able to prove firsthand by using myself as a guinea pig on camera. And, of course, about a year and a half into that journey, the film took a pretty spectacular pivot in the revelations that Gregory Rodchenkov brought forward to me. But, I started with the idea that the global anti-doping system was flawed, and ended up exposing a scandal of size and proportions that I could have never imagined.
Before I ask you about Dr. Rodchenkov, what did you learn through your experience of doping and racing?
Well, what I learned, I think that there's a fallacy that I think, what we call in the United States, I don't know if the term is the same in Australia, an armchair quarterback, somebody who watches sports rather than plays sports, I think has an idea that you can dope. And, and the word dope or doping has such a wide meaning, because that can be everything from, taking too much ibuprofen or too many puffs on your asthma inhaler to anabolic steroids and so on and so forth. But I think that there's an idea in popular society that if you dope, you become a champion, or that if you're a doper, you can then win. And what I personally found is that while all the various hormones and substances that I was taking was helpful, it certainly didn't make me a champion. And to that extent, I believe, right or wrong, that if nobody had been doping, Lance Armstrong probably would have won. And everybody was doping, and Lance Armstrong won. So my personal experience was that it was a pretty radical improvement as far as recovery, but I don't think that it turns, somebody who would have been 10th place into a champion.
And who was Dr. Gregory Rodchenkov?
Well, Dr. Rodchenkov is, or at the time when I met him, was the director of the WADA laboratory for Moscow, which was overseeing the testing of all Russian athletes. And he was involved in was a decades-long, essentially, scandal to evade doping control for all of Russia's athletes on the national team. That essentially Russia never had an anti-doping system. It was the anti-anti-doping
yes.
system posing as an anti-doping system.
Yep.
And Gregory was essentially the mastermind of this operation for quite some time, as when he took over the lab in 2005. But prior to that, he had done substantial work for years before that.
What's depicted in the film is so brazen. Did you form a view of why? Why did Russia systematically state-sponsored dope their athletes?
Well, I think, again, I latch onto the themes of Orwell in the movie and 1984 and Double Think. And Orwell has a very well-known quote, which basically says that essentially sport is war without the weapons, and particularly international sport. And I think that Russia, coming from years of, of communism, and then, of course, the fall of that and its reemergence, always saw their sport program as a way to assert its dominance in a geopolitical capacity, and use that sports system as a way to show that Russia was strong. And, of course, winning in sport, shows might. I mean, whether it's the World Cup and the winning country, or whether that's the Olympics, people don't really remember second place or third place. They only remember champions. And I think in a country like Russia, not only did that become important, it became a way to shore up national pride, help win elections, and in the case at least according to Gregory, became the justification for invading Ukraine after their dominance at the Sochi Olympics.
There was a lot at stake and the dangers and the threats were real to both of you. I take it for Dr. Rodchenkov that that remains a reality. And for you, has that abated now?
You know, for Dr. Rodchenkov, that certainly remains a reality, and his life has been, you know, altered, you know, forever. But for myself, I have not personally felt under threat. You know, I'm a storyteller. I'm a filmmaker. I wasn't, you know, the person who created this fraud or pushed it forward. Ultimately, my capacity in many ways became one of being a journalist that helped to expose the story, and then ultimately who helped Gregory bring the story public and forward.
Do you think the ramifications of what was revealed were ever adequate, Brian?
Do you mean Russia's ban?
Yes,
on the Olympics.
Probably on a whole number of fronts, but yes.
I think overall, on a whole, the punishment did not fit the crime. But that again goes into, you know, big sport, big business, and how the Olympics, the IOC operates, and all the federations within it, which is they don't really want to fight anti-doping or doping in sport, because it's not good for business. It creates problems for them. And so the idea that they would lift the ban on Russia 3 days after the Winter Olympics, when there was absolutely no apologies from Russia, there still to this day was no acceptance of the McLaren report and the Oswald and Schmidt investigations, which corroborated and proved Dr. Rodchenkov's claims, to reinstate Russia into international competition, you kind of have to be scratching your head and go, why? It's like the equivalent of somebody being, you know, convicted for murder and releasing them from jail a year later without them, not only them denying that they ever, you know, murdered somebody, but also without any apology or acknowledgement that they had done so. And yet multiple, in this case, is findings, investigations, agencies found everything that Dr. Rodchenkov said to be true. And the IOC accepted the findings and then essentially acted cowardly to uphold any of those findings or really do anything about it.
So to finish our conversation, Brian, is the nub of the idea was Lance Armstrong, and then you did a podcast with him, The Forward, which is it's lengthy, it's there on YouTube, it can be watched. How would you describe Lance Armstrong and what your relationship with him is?
I've gotten to know him over the last year. Actually, have ridden bikes with him on a few occasions, and he helped host a screening for us, and I participated in his podcast. And to me, he won 7 Tour de France's. That might be a completely flawed way of thinking, but when I look in hindsight of history, every single one of his competitors were doping as well. So I don't believe stripping him of his titles and erasing the history books of these 7 years have accomplished anything. If you're going to do that, they should be going back all the way to the beginning of the 1990s, and then they would strip, you know, Miguel Indurain of his 5 tours, and they would strip essentially every tour champion from 1991 all the way till, you know, I don't know what year. So certainly, I didn't think that accomplished anything, but, the guy did what he did under a playing field at the time, which essentially demanded that be the truth. It's a very complicated situation, but I was very pleased that Lance came out to support Icarus, because I think his support of Icarus has brought more eyes onto it, and I know that he has certainly been working to, I wouldn't say set the record straight, but I think, start on whatever act that is in his life of moving forward, because everyone has to move forward.
Brian, I know you've got a plane to catch. Thank you for your time this morning, and we'll look forward to seeing you in Australia.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking to me, and I look forward to coming to Australia as well.
Oscar-winning director Brian Fogel earlier this morning. He'll be the keynote speaker for the Greyhound Racing Integrity and Sport Conference next week at the Langham Hotel. Tickets are on sale now, grv.org.au/integrity in sport.